With me now is Martina Stunder, the CEO of Rainbow Chicken. I've got David Shapiro, who is joining us, SASFIN Securities. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for your time. Of course, the news of the day is the Rainbow Chicken listing, which is taking place on the 26th of June. And Martina, let's just start with you in terms of the story that has been 2 years in the making and what led to the rationale, the strategy to unbundle and list separately from RCL Foods. Let's start there.
I'm Bronwyn. So RCL Foods communicated a long time ago that the intent was to separate the value-added branded FMCG business, that is RCL Foods, and Rainbow, that is really an agri-based company, in order for both sides to pursue their own investment thesis and to obviously to the benefit of all stakeholders and shareholders.
It creates a pure play, and you've got three divisions within Rainbow Chicken. You've got the chicken side, the animal feed side, and Mutinox, which I want to explore in a little more detail, where you are actually generating your own energy from the water and wastage. But just pick up on some of the challenges within those divisions. We know that avian influenza has been on the horizon, supply certainly being impacted when it comes to eggs. Talk to us about the ecosystem and the challenges that you've experienced.
Yes, Bronwyn, I think it's well documented. I think the whole industry and many other businesses suffered from, you know, electricity and water problems, water quality problems. In our industry, on top of that, we had the avian influenza during last season. So, yes, a very challenging space. On top of that, we are in a turnaround process. So the key metric that moves our business is really a low-cost base, because you sit with almost randomly volatile input cost scenario in terms of your commodities. You're linked to the commodity cycles. And on the front end side, obviously, the consumer plays a big part. And the consumer, in terms of, you know, what they can spend disposable income. So that key metric of ours is really what I refer to as part of the output of our engine room. That's our integrated value chain, and that spans across growing the chicken, feeding them, as you said, from Ebola feed company right through to processing them and distributing, etc. So that's where key performance indicators, the right people, the right team, the right breed of chicken, right processes, right structure in terms of how we manage each of these businesses. We roughly have three regions which are geographically spread all around South Africa. So yes, been busy with that for the past few years to get us to a point where there's traction in terms of profitability, so that we can be stable, this stable enough platform to separate.
David, I want to bring you into the conversation here, and I'm going to ask you to unmute your mic. In terms of the listing of Rainbow Chicken, this follows on the back of a successful listing for We Buy Cars. We saw that unbundling happening from Transaction Capital earlier this year. This is new momentum building for the JSE.
I hope it is. RCL have been there before. In fact, if you look at RCL, that was Rainbow Chickens Limited, if you look at the initials. So we know Rainbow from a long time ago. I think the big issue, and this is where Martinez is going to have to, when I say do a lot of work, is that the Astral experience hasn't exactly blown the market apart. In other words, people have been very concerned. I'm a big favorite of Chris Schutte. I think he's battled along, you know, very famously, or it hasn't been an easy course for him. And I think what people will be watching with Martinez is, are we going to get the same experience, or is this a different kind of operation? And I must say that in Rainbow's, you know, case, it's a huge operation. It's a massive operation with many, many farms around the country, which might be, you know, where they do have the competitive edge. So I think asking that question from Matinas is, you know, where do you sit against the experience we've had with, you know, with chickens and with feedstock on the JSE?
Yes, David. So I think we are prone, just as any other chicken company, to the fluctuations and the cycles that are created. And as I said, almost randomly volatile. You can wake up one morning and there's a Russian ship in the harbor and the rand tanks, and you know, you have all sorts of implications on input costs. So I think that is a given. We'll live with that. And we are linked to these cycles. And on the front end side, as I said, you also sit with the consumer. But there, at least you can change the mix of your product. You can focus on specific categories. You can have the mix of your customer you can play with, and you can innovate. Your brand means something. I think we got wonderful, iconic heritage brands in Rainbow, in Farmer Brown, and in Simply Chicken. We've got a bit of a different side to us in terms of the chilled processed meats, the Simply Chicken Viennas and the Bolognese and so forth. And we are in control of our own raw materials. So I'm going back to the fact that the best defense in terms of these fluctuations and things that can happen is to have a low-cost base in your value chain. And that the value chain, yes, it is massive. But I think if you go back to Astral, we've seen the same over time. I think last year was the first year in 23 years that they have reported a loss. So yes, it does fluctuate up and down, go with the cycles. But if you at least have that low-cost base, it's your best defense. And that's what we worked out very diligently to get the key performance indicators on the agri side right, change the breed of chicken, the people, the way that we organize them, the feed models, the quality of the feed, all those things point towards us being in a better position to weather the storms.
And Martinez, I'm sure that you've heard this question a number of times. Many people seeing delistings happening from the JSE. Of course, you are bucking the trend. And as I said, following a successful listing of We Buy Cars. But are you as a management team ready for the investor onslaught, for the scrutiny that you will receive as Rainbow Chickens in this listed environment, which is very different to an entrepreneurial environment, even though obviously you've been part of the RCL Foods contingent for so long?
Yeah, Roland, we better be. There's no other answer. I think for us to be separated and pursue our own, as I said, investment thesis, be in control of our destiny as much as we can control the things we can control, I think that is first prize for us. Over time, you know, results will have to stack up, as David said, and that's the only thing that will really tell whether that is a sustainable platform that was created by the listing.
But Tim, if I can have one more, sorry, just on that side of it, I think the one thing that we're watching very carefully is the local consumer. And I think every company that has reported on the JSE is starting to be wary of the consumer and the pressure under consumer, to a point where we even saw with Oceana's results, you know, that pilchards are being sold by Woolworths now, you know, and pilchards was always associated with the bottom end of the market. Not from my point of view. I keep saying we always ate it on Friday, on Sunday nights on toast. But I mean, you know, as a protein, you're starting to see pressure on, you know, how do you see that the consumer, and certainly, you know, against the price of chickens?
David, we obviously, I mean, that is absolutely key focus for us. I think we are, I would say, obsessed with what is happening in the consumer space. And that's why we'll also innovate and see how we can produce the cheapest chicken possible on shelf. I think that's really, you know, the industry provides lots of jobs in the rural spaces, in the small towns. Almost I call it the dynamo of the agri industry. But the point is, we've got to stay relevant to the consumer. And I think the one beautiful thing about chicken is its versatility, and it is still very much affordable, or the most affordable animal protein. So yes, there's a lot that we can do to remain relevant, and we'll absolutely pursue that. It is a concern, but the aim is to produce the cheapest chicken possible in formats that make it makes possible for the consumer to acquire.
I said I wanted to come back to Matsunox and the renewable energy that you have solution for in a constrained load shedding environment. Do you see this as a key growth driver for the business going forward, given the huge focus on renewable energy? You could potentially start plugging into the grid and supplying energy to the ecosystem. Is that something that's been discussed around the boardroom table?
Bronwyn, it's certainly a very progressive project, and we have a renewable energy plant linked to our Rustenburg abattoir and to our Worcester one. In the Worcester case, it can produce about 30% of the demand, and in Rustenburg, once it ramps up to full potential, about 70%. So it's really focusing on our own demand. I think the beauty of what we try and achieve there is also that in terms of wastewater, we extract, call it sludge from the wastewater, and that drives the gas turbines that generates the energy. But in the process, you have cleaner water. So it's aimed at green thinking, green processes, renewable energy, but also at the environment. It is groundbreaking in terms of what we're doing in Rustenburg in terms of using litter from the chicken houses. So still quite a way to go. We're a 50% shareholder together with the technology partner.
Operating margin, you are targeting 5.8% full year 2028, and that's up from round about 3.5% at the moment. Just talk to me about the numbers, because there's going to be obviously that focus from the investment community on promises made going forward.
Yes, very much so, and we're very aware of it. I think the first thing that we need to do, and this is where we call it the closer years before we get to 2028, is just, and that's what David also referred to, is for us to show a profitability through the cycles. So by no means do we have a purple patch at the moment in terms of input costs and all the other things, but there are some signs, even with the, you know, with the government of national unity and the RAND and so forth, and these things will obviously have to play out. So first objective for us is via a lot more that's going to come from our value chain, from the breed change. It'll be the first full year where we have a new breed. Where, you know, all the things that we're doing in terms of brilliant basics, et cetera, will still come into play. So 6% or thereabouts is the first aim. We are not yet there. The only way to get there is one step at a time. So extracting more from this value chain, driving costs down, driving efficiencies up. We've added a second shift at our Hammersdale plant. It was taken away in 2017 during a time of very high imports. We've added that. There's still more volume to come through there. So there's an element of volume. There's an element of product mix. There's an element of customer mix. And there's lower cost in our value chain. So I think we've mapped out those steps. Around us, it will always be there will always be an element of turmoil. But that is the case for all players in the game. So we'll have to see if we can, you know, extract all those savings, efficiencies, etc., and more volume. We don't have plans just to chase volume. It's very focused volume. So if we make a change in the plant and there's more of that to come, then we add, you know, capacity to do fresh product as well, say in Rustenburg, where we currently don't have it. That opens up other parts of the market for us. And we grow, obviously, with very specifically with certain customers. So we try and not just push product into the market, but create an element of pull And then it allows us also to know which size chicken in which numbers we've got to grow. And then it's a matter of doing it, you know, as cost effectively as possible. Because only thing that'll keep you relevant, I think, is the cheapest chicken possible to the consumer.
David, I think Martinez addressing number of the questions you put forward in the beginning, and that focus on demonstrating short-term goals, which is where you were going. Just back to you on this discussion.
Last question, or something that I think is affecting all of us is, you know, I'm a great bull that interest rates are going to come down. We have to do it, and I think it'll be led by what's happening overseas. We'll start with the States and follow through. And I suppose a question to Martinez is, I know it could help consumers at the bottom end, but how will it, will you feel the gearing of rates coming down in this? Because they're significantly high here, and it makes it very difficult for companies to operate when your prime rates are, you know, around about 12%.
Yeah, David, exactly. I think we also see the potential of that, and we also have to believe that that could play out, because it will have an impact on the constrained consumer, probably more than anything else. And, you know, we got to create jobs, and we got to do all sorts of things to grow the economy. But I think that'll be first and foremost. It is certainly first and foremost in our minds. It could change the space quicker than anything else that we can think of.
One final question from my side, Martinez, is the regulatory environment. You say, obviously, things change. You can wake up and the environment is suddenly very different to what it was yesterday. Give me your sense when it comes to the regulatory environment and how you navigate the uncertainty.
Yes, Bronwyn. Massive focus that we have on that. And we try and engage from the ministers down to the secretariat. I think we believe, you know, politicians do come and go, but the secretariats are stable. And we got to remain relevant to it as well. And that's why I said, I think we've got a very good story in terms of creating jobs, being in the small door piece, and obviously adding significantly to food security. We are technically very good growers of chicken compared to anybody in the world. We're usually in the top 5 or 6 when it comes to cheapest carcass that we produce. And that's, you know, always verified the University of Wageningen in the Netherlands. So it's independently done. So I think we got a very good case to state. And that's why the master plan, the sectoral master plan, poultry master plan came about, where the objective is to grow chicken consumption, invest in capacity, transformation is high on that agenda, et cetera, et cetera. So there's still a lot to do in that regard. We still want to access some markets. We've got the EPA in terms of Europe Economic Partnership Agreement. We, in theory, have unlimited access to Europe. We produce chicken cheaper than Europe. But it's non-tariff barriers that keeps us away. And it's only government that can help us there with labs and all the tests and stuff that you have to prove that you are, you know, independently producing and supplying safe chicken. So we've seen the minister of the DTIC, Minister Patel, has resigned. So we're watching the space in the Government of National Unity, and to see who is going to be in the chair there. In agriculture, we've seen Minister Chunu is now in a caretaker capacity. So we watch that space as well. Very much. And obviously the rand dollar plays such a big, you know, role in commodities. It's almost as if you import the maize, because it's the Chicago Board of Trade that determines price. And it's rand dollar, and similarly with soya. So, we can hope. I think there's definitely a positive outlook at the moment. Matter of issue is how is it going to play out over time. But I do believe chicken will be around. You know, I said the other day, if the lights are switched off one day, I think we'll be there until the last days, because it's relevant It's a wonderful product. It's versatile. People that have chicken are happy people, whether it's live chicken or their chicken. So, yeah, we're passionate about what we do, and we're just going to try and hang in there, do it as best as possible, and often the playing field's the same on all sides.
And I just look at the brand behind you, and I know that I've grown up with Rainbow Chicken. It is one of those household brands in South Africa. We really appreciate you taking time out of, I know what is a hectic diary as you lead up to that listing next week. So Martinez, best of luck, and we'll certainly be following the story and a great brand in South Africa coming to the JSC as a separate listed entity poised for great things. Thank you very much for your time. Martinez Stander is the CEO of Rainbow Chicken.